here today. And today's discussion is titled, MS, Is It the Truth, the Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth? We're entering the time period of the 3 weeks, and it's really a time for us to sit back and reflect on our mitos, our character traits, how we treat ourselves, how we treat others, and how others respond to us. So today we'll be looking at that mitzvah of emes, of truth. The Torah states in Shmos, in Kaf Gimel Pasuk Zayin, Midvar Sheker Tircha, distance yourself from falsehood. And it's interesting that the Torah uses the word Tirchak, to distance yourself, because that word is not used generally in the Torah. It's used when discussing arayos, illicit relationships. And we also see this word used when looking at Pirkei Avos, when it says, Harchek mishachein ra. We should distance ourselves from a a neighbor that is not that is evil, that is not, it's not wise to be around. So it's almost, it is a mitzvah to distance ourselves from falsehood, but the Torah is also giving us an Eitz Tova, giving us advice. It is not good for you. It is not good for your soul. It's not good for you physically. Stay far away from sheker. Now, this discussion we're having today is, we're not going to be talking about specific situations that arise, because there are times when the truth should be bent and when we should not be telling the full truth. We see even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when talking to Abraham, Sarah laughed, right? And saying that Abraham's so old to have a baby. How can I have a baby now? And when talking to Abraham, Hashem said, Sarah said she's old. So Hashem also bent the truth. So when there is a question, definitely speak to your Rav. Speak to someone who understands the halachos of when truth should be bent or not. My grandmother used to always say, with a lie, you cannot leave the back door, but with the truth, you can travel around the world. It sets you free. It gives you freedom. So let's see what the Torah says about emes itself. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, states, Arba katot ein mekablos pnei hashchina. There are four groups that do not merit to welcome, to embrace pnei hashchina, the divine presence. Kat leitzanim, the group of scoffers. Kat shakranim, the group of liars. Kat chanifim, the group of flatterers. And kat mesapre lashon hara, the group of those who speak lashon hara. Now, it's interesting to note that the Gemara does not say that these people will not enter Olam Haba, but it does say that they will not greet the Shekhinah of the Divine Presence. If somebody is not in Olam Haba, then certainly they're not going to greet the Divine Presence. It's as if I'm going to Washington and I want to meet the President. If I stay in my hotel room, there's no way I'm going to meet the President. If I go to the White House, I have the possibility I may greet him, I may see him, but I may not, I may be turned away. And that's what this Gemara is saying, that those who are involved in these activities, in these groups, will not see the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not saying they're not going to be at Olam Haba, because they have tremendous chuyos, they have tremendous merits, they've done many mitzvos, they've done many acts of chesed, no one's saying they're not going to enter Olam Haba, but they're not going to see the full glory of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara calls it Pnei Hashchina, the face of the Shekhinah. Because when someone wants to talk to somebody else, you can pick up, you can text, you can email, very impersonal, right? If you want to say, I'll be there at 5 o'clock, text them. But if you want to have a long conversation, that's not the way to do it. The next level is an email. Okay, so now you can have a little bit of a longer conversation, give some more information, but it's not personal. You want to talk on the telephone? That works, that's fine, but if you really want to talk to someone and get your point message through and really have a deep conversation, make a meeting. Speak face to face. That's when you see the person in their full, in exactly what they want to tell you and what you want to tell them. The same is true with Moshe Rabbeinu, because we know that Moshe spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu panim el panim. They were intimate, they were close, they spoke face to face. So it's not saying that these people will not bask in God's glory, but not in the highest level of such. So the question is, what is the common denominator of these four groups? That of Leitzanim, scoffers, of Shakranim, those who are liars, of Chanifim, those who flatter, and Misapre Lashon Hara, those who speak Lashon Hara. The common denominator of all these groups is that they are not truthful. They hinge on that which is Sheker, that which is false. Sheker, false behavior and demeanor, is the total antithesis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of what Hashem is. Chazal tell us that Chosmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that the signature of Hashem is Emes. When someone signs a contract or somebody signs their check, they are saying, this is true, this is 100% what I want to do. Your signature says, this is what I am, this is truth. And the Chazal tell us that the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. He is truth through and through. All of these groups of people can't be makabel the Pnei HaShechina. They cannot accept the full glory of Hashem because they do not have the tools with which to accept God's glory because they are not truthful. So let's go through each of them. Kat Shakranim, obviously, the group of people who lie, who do not tell the truth. Now, there are different levels. There are those who do not tell the truth for their own benefit. If I tell a small lie or a big lie, I will receive this, or I will get this promotion, or I will get this raise, or I'll make this friend. It's something for their benefit. But even worse than that, there are people who do not tell the truth because they are ohevei hasheker. They love to lie. What do you mean you love to lie? What does that mean? When we're children, when we're born, we have this incredible imagination. Children live in the world of make-believe, right? Let's play dress-up. I'll be the fireman and you can be the person in the house, the burning house. I'll be the baker and you can be the person in the store. Everything is make-believe. They're not in tune with the reality. As we grow older, reality becomes very important. It's who we are, how we're grounded, and how we perceive the world. But if we don't outgrow that illusionary world, then we are caught up in that which is make-believe, and we become ohavei hasheker. We love that which is not true. Those types of people cannot bask in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his full, truest sense. Then there's a kat leitzanim, the group of scoffers. Because they too do not know that which is important, that which is serious. There could be a whole group talking about something so inspirational and so important, and one person can just roll their eyes or give a good chuckle, finished, gone. The inspiration, poof, it's gone. They take that which is important, that which is MS, that which will make us grow, and they nullify it. Those people too are not full of MS. They cannot bask in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The group of people who are flatterers. So what does that mean? For their own personal benefit, they will tell you, you are amazing. I think you do a phenomenal job. You know, I think I could help you in your work. If I can help you rise even greater levels, let me have a job. Or you're my best friend. Come to my house. Let's go have a picnic. Let's have a party. You know, I need to buy a house. Do you mind if I have a loan? They say things in order for their own benefit. In other words, they are not true to themselves. They are not true to, again, to reality. And the kat misapre lashon hara, those who speak lashon hara, they put people down in order to falsely or to inaccurately make themselves go higher. People know who they are, and it's okay to know that you do wonderful things. You don't have to put other people down or say that they are incompetent, incapable, ridiculous, to make yourself better. When people are involved in that on a daily basis, they are not perceiving themselves in the light of MS, in the light of truth. So these four groups of people are those who don't see Hashem for who he really is because he is total MS and they can't see it because if you're not MS to yourself, you cannot see the MS of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only do they not see the MS of Hashem doesn't really want them to be part of his inner group. because it's not who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Now, this is not to say people who are nechshal, who transgress occasionally, they don't want to, they do tshuva, they try to be better. These are people who are involved in these activities all the time. So we see this concept also when it comes to the Nachash. The Nachash HaKadmoni, the snake in the story of Adam and Chava. Because we know that he was the Arum, he was the sly one. He wanted to be the ultimate of creation. And he tricked Chava by saying, if you touch the Eitz Hadas, you will surely die. And then he pushed her into it, and guess what? She didn't die. But that's not what Hashem said. Hashem said, if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will die. So he was tricky, and he was sly, and he was totally the antithesis of Emes, of truth. So what were the punishments that Adam and Chava received for eating from the Eitz Hadas? We know Adam, Zeyat Apecha Tochal Lechem. He has to go to work. He has to sweat and put himself in danger in order to eat bread. Chava, as we know, endures the pain of childbirth. And the Nachash, he lost his legs, he was going to slither on the ground. But the truth is, why was that such a punishment? He had all the food in the world because now he'd be eating dirt. He never had to work. He never had to be concerned about how he's going to live. He had everything he needed. So why in the world was that a punishment? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to him is, you are sly. You lack any semblance of MS. I don't want to ever see you again. There's a door. Don't let it hit you when you leave. Here's all the food you need. Do not come to me ever again. For Adam and Chava, for humanity, Hashem is always available. He is always here to listen to us for our pleas, for our tefillos, what we need, what we want. But for the Nachash, I don't want to see you again. Goodbye. You will not be Makabel the Pnei Hashchina at all. So in order to be close to Hashem, we do need to work on our midah of emes and our midah of honesty and truthfulness. How do we become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world? What is one of the tools that we always use? It's that of tefillah. It's that of davening. Because davening brings us close to Hashem in so many different ways. We come to Him, we ask, we beg, we cry, we thank. No matter what's going on, we are always connected to the Source. And this is a gift that God has given us, because we always say, you know, if you want to go see Obama, you can't just walk into the White House and say, I'm here to see the president. You have to call, make an appointment. Would I even get an appointment? Probably not. If by a miracle I did, it might be a year later, a year from now. And when I do see him, wait 5 minutes, 4 minutes, plead your case, see what he says, goodbye. Won't see you again. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is waiting for us at all times. Whenever we want to speak to him, he is always there for about anything that we would like to talk about, for as long as we'd like to talk about. It is truly unbelievable. In davening, we do say, though, in Ashrei, Karov Hashem l'kol korav, l'chol asher yikra'uhu be'emes. Hashem is close to all who call to him, all who call to him in emes, in truth. So the question is, what does that mean? Because when I go to talk to Hashem, I'm going to say something that's not true. I'm telling him how I'm feeling. I'm telling him what I need and what I want. So let's take a look and see what this is talking about. Because Hashem wants us to come to him in MS. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came back to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And Chazal says that they hichziru atara liyoshna. They brought the crown back to its glory. Now, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who prophesied about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, saw Churban at its best. He saw the total destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he, when he was davening, or when he was talking about Hashem, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu used the adjectives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora. Hashem is almighty, Kel, Gadol, he is big, Gibor, he is strong, and Nora, he is awesome. Yirmiyahu, when he was describing Hashem, could not use the word Nora, could not use the word awesome when describing Hashem. Why so? When Yaakov Avinu had his dream with the ladder, He woke up from the dream, and it was on the Har HaBayis. That's where he was had his dream on Har HaMoriah. He said, "Manora hamakom hazeh, how awesome is this place?" And Chazal teach us that the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash was lema'an tilmad liyirei es Hashem, to teach Klal Yisrael to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we know that in the Beis Hamikdash, especially the first Beis Hamikdash, there were nisim that happened on a daily basis. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us about the 10 nisim that happened with all the korbanos going on and slaughtering of the animals. There was never a fly in the Beis Hamikdash, for example. The pillars of smoke went straight up. It didn't blow in the wind. Chazal say no woman ever miscarried due to the smell of the blood of the korbanos. There were many miracles happening. One of the amazing miracles is that it was so crowded in the Beis HaMikdash that people stood arm to arm and their feet were elevated off the floor because they were so squished. Yet when they bowed down, everybody had their own Dalet Amos. Everyone had their own area in order to call out to Hashem in privacy. Incredible miracles, all to promote Yiras Shamayim, fear of heaven. But when Yirmiyahu saw that the Gentiles were walking and dancing in Har HaBayis, he couldn't say the word Nora. He couldn't say the word awesome. So he said, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. And he left out the word Nora. When it comes to Daniel, who also was around during the time of the Chorban, the Gentiles enslaved Bnei Yisrael. He saw that we no longer had autonomy and that we were slaves to others, and he could not describe Hashem as Gibor, as strong. Because how is that strength when your people are enslaved to others? So the pasuk, when Daniel's describing Hashem, he says, Hakel Hagadol V'Hanora. He doesn't say the word Gibor. Comes Anshei Knesset Hagdola, who put together the siddur for us, the tefillos that we say now and forever, and this is the tefillah that we do say, and they said, no. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, V'Hanora is how we have to say it. But the honesty of Yirmiyahu and Daniel is enlightening, because they were not lacking in emunah. They had incredible emunah in God, and they knew exactly who HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. But when they were doing their davening, they couldn't say it, because they had to come to Hashem with emes. Now, that's not to say that it's a difference for us on our level now. Sometimes we struggle with emunah. Everyone does at times in their lives. We still dive in with all these words because we know them to be true, and we know that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah put it back in. This is exactly how we have to dive in. The reason they put it back in is because the Gevura, the strength of God, was seen in its incredible might during this time, because God was able to be kovesh his yetzer. In other words, Hashem saw what the Goyim were doing to Klal Yisrael, and he didn't destroy them right away, which he so could have, but he was able to be strong and say, I'm going to give them time to do tshuva. I'm going to give them their free will. That's what God does, and that is his incredible strength. He also was no ra. Of course he was awesome. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the most awesome in the whole world, and Anshei Knesset HaGedolah wanted us to say it, but Daniel and Yirmiyahu felt when they daven, they could not put that in because they had to approach God with total MS, with total honesty. We know that at the end of Aleinu, we say, V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, in the times of Mashiach, v'yom ha'hu, during those times, yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. God will be one and his name will be one. It's saying in those times when Mashiach comes, when we see things clearly. Every day we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We know God is one. No matter what midah he is showing us at the time, whether it is that of stringency, that of chesed, that of tzedakah, Hashem is one, and we know that. But we don't always feel it. We don't always sense it. And Chazal understood that. And that is why when sometimes in this world we see God performing acts of chesed, and we see it clearly. When good things happen, and the bracha that we say is HaTov HaMeitiv, God is great, blessed are you Hashem. But when horrible things happen that we perceive as horrible, we don't have to say that bracha. And the bracha that is said is Dayan HaEmes, the Hashem is the judge of truth. Now intellectually, we know that all that God does is good. And we say that, and we understand that, we believe it with true belief. So much so that we say Shema, right? We cover our eyes, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Our eyes are closed because it's dark. And in the darkness, even though we can't always perceive the goodness of Hashem when times are dark, yet we know the Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. And I always like to talk about the games that we play with our children. We play the wheels and the bus go round and round hand games. How big is Chaim? So big, right? Itsy bitsy spider. But sometimes we play peekaboo, right? Where's Chaim? I can't find Chaim. Peekaboo! And he's so excited. And he laughs. He found mom again. But the truth is, if I understood that he was going to fall out of the crib while I was playing this game, I would have jumped and caught him. If I saw he was going to put his finger in the outlet, of course I would have saved him, right? Even though he couldn't perceive me, he didn't see me, I was still there. Same is true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though we live in the time of Hester Panim, we live in a time we don't see Hashem clearly, even so, he is always there. He will never let us fall. He is always standing beside us. Yet, Chazal did not make us say brachos that were not true to how we feel. There is hatova, hametiv, for things that we see are great, and dayin ha'emes, for things that we see that are not good. It's interesting that on Purim, there is a halacha that people drink on Purim, ad lo yada, until you don't know, between Baruch Mordechai and Arur Haman. Blessed is Mordechai, and cursed is Haman, right? So there are many different ways people do this. Some people do indeed drink, and they can't think clearly. Some people sleep. Some people don't do this at all. But it's interesting to note that the gematria of Arur Haman is 502. The gematria of Baruch Mordechai is also 502. So what Chazal are teaching us is that right now in this world, we see black and white, good and bad. But in essence, in Olam HaEmes, Bayom HaHu, when we will see everything clearly, that which is true, it is all one and the same. It is all the workings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it all is good. When we say brachos, when we daven, we also need to be true to what we are saying. And we need to think about the words that we are saying and how we are, what we are saying to Hashem. This applies both to the brachos of mitzvos, and Birkas HaNehanin, when we say brachos over the things that we enjoy in this world. For example, when we say Shehakol Niheh B'Dvaro, we say it, I say it so fast so that I can have the ice cream, I can drink my water, whatever it is, just comes out. But if you think about the words Shehakol Niheh B'Dvaro, everything in this world is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. That Hashem said, Vayihi Or, and there is light. Hashem created the water, and because of that water of creation, I have the water to drink right now because Hashem, through his Ratzon, wants me to have it right here, right now. And when we think about what we're saying, our brachos and our tefilos are much more true, and we come to Hashem in emes. So while we're talking about emes, and we're talking about emes in tefillah, and how we can be mekabel the pnei Hashchina, we can see God's glory, we need to talk about Yaakov Avinu, because sometimes this may appear very confusing. In Micha, there's a pasuk that states, Titen emes liYaakov, chesed laAvraham. We give truth to Yaakov, Hashem gives truth to Yaakov, and chesed, kindness, to Avraham. So we know that each of the Avos had their particular strength in their midah of serving Hashem. Avraham was chesed. Everything that he did was through the prism of chesed. Yitzchak, of gvura, of strength, he was able to be strong and lie on that akedah and say, I am willing to give my life to Hashem. He was total strength. And Yaakov is emes. Yaakov's midah is that of truth. Yaakov ishtam yoshev ohalim. That's how the Torah describes him when we are introduced to Yaakov, that he is an ishtam. He's wholesome. He sits and he studies. As opposed to Esav was a Ish Yodeya Tzayid, Ish Sadeh. He was a man who was out in the field hunting, a man of the field. And Rashi says that Ish Sadeh, that Tzayid Bapiv, he was able to trap his father with his words. He was a trickster. He was sly. as opposed to his brother Yaakov. Yet we see that Yaakov Avinu's life and all the episodes that include Yaakov seem to have a component of trickery, of that of not full truth, of that of being sly, and it's hard to put the two together to synthesize this. So what is going on here? So Chazal teach us that because Yaakov was put in these situations, his midah of emes, his midah of truth was strengthened. And it's interesting because we see this with Avraham Avinu also. Avraham was full chesed. He was fully engrossed in kindness. His doors were open on four sides. When the malachim came, he ran and he got three cows and the three tongues and he was running to do hachnasas orchim. Yet when Avraham was tested, how was he tested? He was tested with the war, the four kings and the five kings. He had to go out to war and kill, right? He was tested that he had to send his son away. It felt cruel. How could he send Yishmael, his flesh and blood, away? Hashem said, Shema b'kola, you have to listen. Strengthening his midah of chesed through what he had to do to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the ultimate was the Akedah, to take his son, who he loved so much, who he waited for 100 years, and be willing to slaughter, which is so against chesed. It's not what we do. We do not harm our children because it was the word of Hashem. So too with Yaakov Avinu, that we see that the situations he was in, that he had to do things that seemed to be that of trickery, strengthened his midah of emes. Yaakov sold the Bechora. Yaakov sold his birthright to Esav. And he wanted that sale to be 100%. So no one could ever come back and say, hey, you tricked me, even though they did. So Chazal say that before Yaakov gave Esav the lentils, he fed him bread so that he wouldn't be starving before he sold the Bechora, the birthright, for lentils. Even so, Esav came back and said, Yaakov tricked me. He tricked me. He stole my birthright. Yaakov had to go in to see his father and to get the bracha that he bought, that was his. It was his, and he bought it fair and square, but he had to go in to Yitzchak and, so to speak, trick him to think that he was Esav. So what happens? Chazal tell us that before Yaakov went in, he said the pasuk that is in Tehillim and Perakuf Pasachav, Hatzileni Nafshi Misfat Sheker Mlishomia. Please relieve my soul from the lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Yaakov wanted to remain the man of truth and of dignity, even though he had to participate in activities that were not fully truthful. Going into Yitzchak and saying, I am Esav, was from a nevuah from Rivka. Rivka had a nevuah, was a hora asha. It was just for one time, and Rivka knew for the continuation of Klal Yisrael, it had to happen. So Yaakov goes in, and what does he say? So Yitzchak says, Mi ata b'ni? Who are you, my son? Which one are you? He says, Anochi Esav b'chorcha. I am Esav, your firstborn. That seems to be an outright lie, right? So typically we understand that, no, he said, Anochi, I am I. Esav b'chorcha. Esav is your firstborn, right? So it seemed to make sense, and he's not lying at all. But what we can understand also, Yaakov was saying, is Anochi, I am a man of honesty. I am a man of truth. I am an ish tam. I will not let this situation influence me. I will not let it change who I am. Esav b'chorcha. Esav is your firstborn. Yaakov would not allow what he had to do externally to change who he was internally. The same is true when he lived in the house of Lavan. Lavan was constantly tricking him. He gave him Leah instead of Rachel, and with the sheep, he was trying to undermine Yaakov at every step of the way. There came a time when Yaakov said to his wives in Bereishis Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Hey, Vayomer lahen, re'ei anochi es p'nei avichem. Today I see the face of your father, ki ein alai kitmol ushelshom. It's not the same as it was yesterday or 2 days ago. Velokei avi hayayim adi, and Hashem is with me. So what Yaakov is saying is, you know, Your father is not treating me the way he used to treat me. He used to treat me, but not well, but better, and now he's not treating me as well. I think we have to leave. It's time to go. But what another interpretation is that Yaakov is saying, the way I see your father is not the way I saw him yesterday or 2 days ago. I'm starting to see, to not see him being so sly, and not seeing the trickery, and not seeing the conniving, and not seeing the cheating. And if I'm starting not to see that, then we have to get out of here, because this is affecting my soul, and this is not good for me. Yaakov wanted to maintain his integrity of who he was. And this is very important for us, like in the workplace itself, because we have to always, or in life, we have to always take a step back and say, okay, where am I? Am I where I want to be? Have I been influenced by my surroundings? Is this where I should be? And make decisions. When Yaakov left Lavan, the pasuk says, "Vayavo Yaakov shalem ir Shechem." Yaakov came whole to Shechem. He came as he left. He was an ish tam before he left. He was an ish tam when he came back. He himself had not changed who he was. And that is why we can say Titen Emes LeYaakov. Yaakov is true through and through. Another concept is that Yaakov Avinu had a very, very hard life. A very hard life. More challenging than that of his father and grandfather. Yaakov, it's interesting that when Rivka told Yaakov, you have to go in, you have to trick your father, pretend you're Esav, he said, he's going to curse me, he's not going to bless me. And Rivka says, Alai kilascha b'ni. The curse will be on me. The word alai is ayin lamid yud. And we can say, Rivka was saying, no, 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 your father's not going to curse you. The troubles in your life are going to come from ayin, from Esav. Lamed from Lavan, Yud from Yosef. That's where your troubles will come from, not from Yitzchak. Okay? So Yaakov had a horrible life. He had to deal with Esav. He had to deal with Lavan and Dinah and Yosef. And yet, he never said, I don't need this. I don't want this. I'm going a different direction. He stood with HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout. Therefore, he too, is. That's why he is Emes, because he didn't have to, because he had lots of reasons to say no thank you, but he stood firm, because he was a true believer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Echad. This world we call Olam HaSheker. This is the world of falsity. Olam Haba we call Olam HaEmes. That is the world of truth. Why? Why do we say that? Because there's many smoke screens in this world and mirrors, and we don't see things clearly. I may think that someone has the most perfect life, and they have wealth, and they have power, and they have a successful family, and then you find out years later that that was not the case. But the way we perceive things is not always true. It's not always so. In Olam HaEmes, in the world of truth, we will see everything clearly and understand why everything happened to us, things that we felt were phenomenal and things that were really, really challenging. We will see that. So we say in our davening before Kriya Shema, V'ha'er eninu b'Torah techa, please enlighten us with your Torah, the dabek libeinu b'mitzvosecha, and let us cling to you with the mitzvos, v'yached levaveinu li'ahava li'ira eshemecha. And we want to become one with you, to love and to fear you. Now the question is, why are we saying this now? Because we just said 2 minutes ago in the bracha of Kriya Shema, the same Belibeinu Lahavinu Lahaskil, the please give us our hearts to understand, Lishmoa, Lilmo, the Lameda, I should learn, I should teach, I should be able to understand. That is for this world, for Olam Hazeh. What we're davening for right afterwards is asking Hashem that in this world, in Olam Hazeh, while I prepare for Olam Haba, please, Baha'er Enin Besara Secha. Please let my eyes cling to the Torah so I see the truth. Because Torah never wavers. It never changes. It is our anchor. We live in a world that's always changing with different winds and different thoughts and ideas. Torah is constant. Please let me cling to the Torah so I see that which is true. The Dabek Libeid of Mitzvosecha. Please let me hold on to the mitzvos so that I know what is true. Your word is true. You are true. You are Emes. Why? So that we will not be embarrassed, Leolam Va'ed, in Olam Haba. Because when we get there and we see that which is true, we might be very embarrassed that we hung on to things that were just dust, things that were just smoke, that weren't important. Please let me understand what's important now so I won't be embarrassed when I get there. So we have the tools. We have the tools of tefillah. We have the tools of learning from Yaakov Avinu and his life, of being true to ourselves, and to know that if we want to be mekabel the Pnei HaShechina, if we want to truly feel the presence of God, we need to be true to who Hashem is so that he can reflect himself in us. We all know the famous understanding of the word MS itself. Aleph, Mem, Tav. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis, Mem is the middle, Tav is the end. It is MS through and through. Those three letters have legs to stand on in the Aleph Beis. When you draw a line and write the letters out, they stand on two legs, Aleph, Mem, and Tav. In addition, the first two letters are Aleph, Mem, Aim, Mother, the beginning of life. The last two letters are Mem and Tav, Mace, the end of life. When you are a person of MS, it will follow you through from beginning to end. Okay? That is MS. That's what truth is. The word sheker, shin, kuf, resh, first of all, it's not in the right order. It's really kuf, resh, shin. It's mixed up. It's the three end letters of the Aleph Beis. So you're cramming it in, making it up, trying to make it work. And the letters themselves end on a point. The shin, right? Kuf. Resh, all stand on one leg. They can be easily toppled over. So when we understand...
Terrific.
So when we understand that MS is really the foundation of our lives, carrying us through from beginning to end, good times, hard times, older, younger, then we will truly be zocha be'ezras Hashem to mekabel pnei hashchina. As we say in the Kriya Shema as well, the brachos, MS atahu rishon, the MS atahu acharon, it is true that you are first. It is true that you are at the end. Mi baladecha ein lanu melech goel moshiach. And besides you, we have no one else. Okay, do we have any questions?